Right now, it is time for talk. Talk of South County, talk of Great Barrington, the whole South County area, with our good friends from the BerkshireEdge.com. That is David and Marcy, and they are with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I pre-warned David that we had a listener contact us that traveled the other day through the Great Barrington, the new Rotary as you enter Great Barrington.
Yes.
And they said...
Did he make it?
It was a woman. They did make it. And
they did make it. Okay,
they do
good.
Think that the Rotary has made the... We'll make that intersection look more beautiful. There's no doubt about it. Cleans up a lot of clutter. But they actually saw a truck. I guess they're installing granite curbing up there?
Yes.
Yep.
They saw a truck actually probably ruin a tire.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Going around the roundabout, as we would say, or the rotary. So I just thought I'd pass that along to you that your friends in Connecticut are now enjoying or not enjoying the Great Barrington Rotary.
Well, we're not enjoying it either.
Those curbs, they put those I guess they're marble or what granite curbs are really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Those edges.
We have the same problem downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the state redid our, the main street and put in these new curbs.
People were getting flat tires.
When they put they put the curbs in Sharon. They're going to put more in next year when they repave the state. When they put them in Salisbury and Lakeville, that winter the plows that plow the ground that plow the roads.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Made a big difference, and the state plows had to be a lot more careful because they could tear up the plows very easily by hitting that granite curbing. So
yeah. Well, I think what they had to do in downtown Great Barrington was they had to come back and file them down,
right?
So round the curve a little bit because people were backing in, to park, and if they hit the curb, their tires would puncture.
That's exactly. Or if they, worse yet, they didn't puncture, but they were just ripped enough so when you were driving down the road later on.
Right.
Here we go. All right.
Then it would blow out. Right.
That's called improvement.
Well, let's head on to others.
Well, it's very funny. This roundabout is very controversial, and it was a state decision. It wasn't a local decision.
Right. Rather than have a traffic light, which had been there
and
time in a memorial,
working fine.
Right.
Well, anyway, so all right. I won't tie up our time with any more of that. But I just wanted you to know that Connecticut residents have weighed in already on the road.
Right. Well, they should weigh in with the state of Massachusetts.
All right. Hey, listen, if you guys didn't have any luck with that, somebody from Connecticut's not going to have any luck with that. All right, let's go to, speaking about luck, or a revolt suing. I like this. I like a revolt suing among members of the 8-Town Planning Committee in Southern Berkshire County, trying to come up with that strategy for consolidating educational facilities. Boy, you could see this coming a mile away.
Oh, I know. This is many years. They've been feuding about this. About there are, fewer and fewer students in the Berkshires, Southern Berkshires, anyways, and they have two regional school districts, and so it would make sense, you would think, that maybe they could combine them, but that process has just been a nightmare of controversy and competition. But so it's been going on for a long time, and they have what they call an 8-town regional school district planning board. Now that's the official body researching the potential merger of these two Southern Berkshire school districts. And that is what this story we ran this week is about.
Well,
it seems like there is a letter there. I don't know how many people are on the school committee, but a group of 10 of them sent a letter to the planning board And it was sent by a marketing and communications specialist named Cass Londrigan, who sent it on behalf of District Superintendent Beth
Regal-Bulto. Yeah, she's in the Southern Berkshire District, which borders Connecticut.
Which is not ours.
Which is, well, in great, then there's just north of it is Berkshire Hills.
Right. Anyway, the letter said that they believe, I mean, these 10 members believe that the process is being rushed, and until we address the difficult dynamic between the two districts and the ongoing feeling of imbalance, there simply is no path forward.
I'm going to butt in here, and rushing is not. Region 1 in Connecticut was the first regional school district in the state and one of the first in the Northeast. And it was set up and back in the, gosh, what's, really early 50s. And what it eventually wound up doing was having one regional high school and allowing each team, each town in the district, to have one elementary school. You have, they also created the rules that there's a regional school board with members from each town. There's a local school board with members from each town. And that formation many years ago set the standard, and that is what set the special act in Connecticut to make regional school districts possible. So every school district follows that. But there are far-reaching plans that nobody ever thought about. Weighing towns' votes by how big a town it is with population. How much schools will pay by the amount of population going to the high school. There were a lot of things that weren't anticipated that years later would become major problems. The school district is still a fine setup, but they should take their time in setting it up and include all those things that they need to include about future finances and how it's going to run.
Well, one of the problems with this proposed merger is that there's a rivalry between the two school districts. One, Southern Berkshire, which is in south, which borders Connecticut, has far fewer students, and
but apparently better schools.
Perhaps better schools, yeah. And Monument Mountain Regional School District, which deals with Great Barrington and Stockbridge, for example,
and West Stockbridge,
is saying, well, you know, why don't you all come up to us, to our district? Because we don't want to bus our kids down to your district.
And I'll tell you,
it's a feud that's been going on for years.
And one of the main considerations is going to be something that Great Barrington has already faced when Great Barrington once turned down Runda because they didn't want their taxes to go up more because it was way they turned down the school proposal. And a smaller district with less students, if it's set up in the normal way, means that the smaller district residents will pay more, basically. There's a lot of things that they're going to have to work out.
Well, you know, the busing is a big issue because it does mean, you know, I mean, besides the fact that, you know, there's schools have their own athletic teams and their own loyalties, but busing is a big issue because
in the morning,
I mean, and in the afternoon because there are long distances to be traveled.
Yep. And that faces here. People from Kent have to come all the way from Kent, which is very close to New Milford, to Falls Village, Connecticut.
Right.
To Falls Village, Connecticut. It's quite a hike. Well, it's an interesting story, and I think it's a story I'm telling our listeners here in Connecticut to follow it because right now you folks in South County are facing what Connecticut did over 50 years ago with the formation of the first regional school district. And it's going to be not an easy thing to set up.
Nope.
All right. With
no,
that.
It's not, unfortunately. And, you know, it's also, you know, the number of students overall in these districts is declining. And that's, you know, there's not as many young families here as there used to be. And that's another that's another issue, you know.
Yeah, and because the houses are too expensive and there aren't enough jobs.
Well,
although
also,
there are jobs, everybody's looking for jobs, but they may not be the right kind of jobs.
Going along with the first portion of the story, you also have a story about, and this is also very important, the committee is complaining now about a lack of input from staff at school districts and from the public itself. This process has got to be so transparent. That's what's going to make it laborious and long, because you have to hear from everybody.
That's right.
Well, it's not so much that it's not transparent, is that people are not participating.
Right.
I mean, that's the issue, that they have sent questionnaires and saw, they did a Survey Monkey survey of staff members of the two school districts, and they only received 27 or so replies. Now, I don't know. We don't say in the article what the, you know. But there's far more than 27 people working in these two school districts. So, you know, they don't know what people want.
Yeah.
And people are not, so the committee is also very frustrated.
All right, let's move on to the restoration of the AME Zion Church. That's where the W.E.B. Du Bois worshipped when he was around. It's now moving ahead. This is going to be, I think it's a terrific thing, but it's also going to be an expensive thing in the end.
Yes.
Yes. But what's nice is that they've hired a very good local architecture firm, Clark and Green.
Yep.
And Clark and Green, according to this article, is not only the architects, but also it looks like they're the project managers, because they are. It's a multi-year, six-figure multi-year project, and they have they are hiring eight firms of consultants to work with them, and these are consulting engineers, a facility group, land services, you know. There are different design groups. They're going to, because they are, you know, they are planning on total renovation to the building of $5 to $7 million. Now, where they're going to get this money is another question. But you know, it's a charming little building. We have pictures of the interior of it, and it really will be beautiful when it, I mean, I'm sure it was beautiful when it was first built, and it will be beautiful when it's redone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, and it's going to be a very important contribution to our community. You know, we have a historic African American community in Great Barrington, and also, you know, throughout the Berkshires. And this is a way to celebrate them and to recognize their history here. So this Clinton Church, now the W.E.B. Du Bois Freedom Center, will really be, you know, a major. It'll be a major tourist attraction and also a resource for local people. So, you know, we're
and an acknowledgement of this history,
right.
Of African Americans in Southern Berkshire County,
right?
And it's interesting. I was doing an interview with an author who's coming to the library in Sharon, talking about something totally different. And in talking with his background, I found out he was a descendant of the person who was the lawyer who freed the slave, which was celebrated
the Mombet
with a statue. And so I told him, I said, "Well, do you realize?" That Sheffield honored with a brand new statue of that, and he hadn't realized that. But it, you know, it's a large world, but it's a small world. And
well, he's a descendant of the Sedgwick.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Sedgwick,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sedgwicks, of course, were very important in the Berkshires, and they have a big funeral, a big burial plot in the Stockbridge Cemetery called the Sedgwick Pie. Because they buried each other in sort of a pie formation,
Mumbet is buried there.
And Mumbet is the slave who was freed and then came to work for them.
Well, it just shows you. What shows you is that how important local news is and local events are on the national level. Without even blinking an eye in our area, we're very lucky to live in this area.
Well, listen, this is a shameless plug for both of us, but local news is very important for the local market too. Which is why we ask people to support us, as do you.
Yep, absolutely.
Because where would we be without any local newspapers or local radio stations?
All right, we're going to be coming around the bend again with the Housatonic Water Company, and this time, at the top of the list of the owner of the system, thinks about merging his failing system with the town of Great Barrington. Well, of course he thinks that, because he's going to try to make some money off of it. He's going to try to sell it. And I just think everybody should throw up their hands and begin the takeover proceedings, eminent domain, because otherwise this is never, ever going to get settled over the next couple of years. That's my opinion.
Well, and these people in Housatonic are really fed up.
Yeah. Drastic times call for drastic actions. I hate to say that because I'm not a big believer in eminent domain, but this is absolutely ridiculous what's going on in Housatonic with the water.
Well, and, you know, the owners are taking good money out of the system. I mean, there's several of them who are being paid quite well every year. And have been, while all this is going on. And I think that's what the people from Housatonic are furious about. And
right.
So, there are several people who are taking out several hundred thousand dollars each every year, money that could have been spent on maintenance, which is not. The town, of course, doesn't have the money to buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess the question is, should the town buy it, or should the town just take it over?
Well, take it over.
Yeah, that's well.
And merge it with with the town system. This is just an old, a remnant of the old village system, where the town, within the town, there were these villages.
Yeah.
They had their own kind of municipal operation.
And the whole other thing that throws a monkey wrench in the right is that, okay, so let's say the town absorbs it. Let's say they do it by eminent domain. They don't pay for anything to take over the company, okay? They're going to bring the water supply in that they use, which is a great water supply, but they're going to have to replace all the pipes. Just think about that. Replace every pipe.
Right.
So the cost of this is going to be staggering.
It is going to be staggering because Mercer, who owns it, talks about already a $4 million cost. I mean, it's $2 million to install a new green sand filtration system. And then another $2 million would include the installation of a 200,000-gallon storage tank at an elevated location.
Improves water pressure.
Yes, the improvement of any fire flow issues and the continuation of a systematic attrition replacement of piping and hydrants. So I guess that's $4 million.
Well, this is why, people, long ago, most municipal water systems, like road systems, turnpikes used to be private. Roads used to be privately owned. We forget that, but years ago there were gates, and you paid a fee just to go from one town to another.
Right, tolls.
Tolls, and it was the same with the water system.
Yeah.
It was privately owned and not regarded as a public asset that had to be publicly supported by everybody.
Right.
And Mercer is just being
He's trying to hold on to it for I don't know. I mean, I think he's trying to milk it for all it's worth.
All it's worth, that's exactly right.
They're taking cash out every year, the Mercers. And now he's saying that it's going to be over $4 million. Well, they can't finance $4 million or more.
Well, anyways, it's a story that's that sooner or later is going to come to an exploding end. It really is. There's no other way around it.
Yeah. Now, you know, I have spoken to friends who live in Housatonic and asked them what they do because, you know, I think their houses are unsellable with this. And, you know, one friend said that they have a water filtration system in their house. They have their own water filters. So their water is drinkable and usable and not disgusting in color. Yeah. But, you know, not everybody has it. I mean, yeah. I wonder what it costs to put in individual filtration systems in every home in Housatonic.
Yeah.
At the expense of the homeowner, probably.
Yeah. Well, in our final 6 minutes, a couple of stories which take us away from the Housatonic Water Company, thank God. The Great Barrington Food Pantry held a successful Pulling for the Pantry fundraiser, which is always great to hear.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, this pantry is terrific. I mean, there are many, you know, wonderfully dedicated volunteers. You know, we have both the food pantry and we have something called Berkshire Bounty, which collects food from residents to use in the food pantry. So these are two amazing organizations. And they had a big fundraiser with very popular local bands. We have a group called the BTUs. We have a fantastic singer who performs a lot in the Berkshires called Wanda Houston, who was a big backup singer and you know, for big groups all over the country. But she lives here and she performs a lot here. And they were just two of the several groups that performed at the wonderful Egremont Barn in South Egremont. And they raised about $10,000, which is, you know, doesn't seem like a huge amount, but it's the $7,500, but it's very useful. I mean, that money is very useful.
It goes a long way.
It goes a long way because, you know, it's so much is run by volunteers, but they need to be able to buy food, too, to make up for what is not donated.
All right, so now let's go to a unique place in our area, and that is Dewey Hall in Sheffield.
Right.
To me, it is a very unique place. A lot has gone on there over the years where people have used it for Aglet Theater to stage their productions out of there. Right now, they're doing productions. But there's a contest going on, which I think is a rather interesting contest about drawing Dewey Hall, DDH.
Right.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, for anybody who is living in Connecticut who comes up toward Great Barrington, you drive through Sheffield, and Dewey Hall will be on your left. It's a beautiful stone building built around 1900 that's a performance space and a community center. It was donated to the town by the Dewey family. And they have a dynamic team. There's, you know, a new board, president, and Beth Carlson, who has tremendous energy. And they are really revitalizing Dewey Hall. They're having regular concerts. They're having family events. They're having art shows there. And now they have a contest for people to draw Dewey Hall. They do have some drawings of it, but they feel like it needs to be refreshed, and so they're asking people to submit new drawings.
I think it's a great idea. Great for
great
for publicity about the event.
Great for publicity.
And includes the community in an event and makes more awareness of what they're doing at Dewey Hall.
Right. That's right. And, you know, the JWS Art Supplies in Great Barrington will give a $200 gift card to the winner. So it's not big money, but it's going to get a lot of publicity.
Yeah, that's not. It's, once again, it's one of those little,
here.
Yeah, it's one of those little treasures that that people
yes,
who
is.
Don't aren't
yeah.
from the area drive by and they might see the building and say, "Oh, what a beautiful building."
Yeah.
Don't realize how hard it's being revitalized and you know one thing about that building? It's got parking.
It does.
It's got everything.
It's got parking in front of it, right.
That's true.
It's got parking, and it's got other community buildings that are there, restaurants and everything else that are close by to it. It's an amazing piece of property. It really is.
Yes, it is, and it's a very nice little town. Sheffield it's not as lively as Great Barrington, but it now has what I understand is a terrific pizza place. It's got the Marketplace, which is a wonderful community restaurant. I mean, it's not a community, it's privately owned, but it's a wonderful gathering place, and also a catering service, the Marketplace. And it's got a nice new little bakery.
And a distillery, really, honest to gosh.
Yeah, a brewery and a distillery.
Yeah, and they do free concerts on the weekend through October.
Yeah,
that's
yep.
it. You right. just, for just it, and because it's in a pavilion, you don't have to worry about rain. It's just a great,
right.
it's a great little town.
And also, there's a terrific store called the Magic Fluke.
Yep.
That makes
ukuleles. Yeah,
yep.
absolutely.
So there are many charming things, and if you pick up a copy of our magazine, Out and About with the Berkshire Edge, there will be a full description of everything there is in Sheffield, as well as in 11 other towns, including Salisbury.
All right. Guys, we'll speak to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Yeah,
Thank you
too.
So much.
Take care.
No, next week, actually, Marshall, we won't be here. We'll be observing Yom Kippur.
Okay, well, then we'll speak to you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Right.
All right. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right.
To all your listeners.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The BerkshireEdge.com is the location where you can find them on the web, and you can find them here at Robin Hood Radio at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on the Berkshire Edge on air.